Wisconsin Vegetable Garden Radio Show with your hosts, Joey and Holly Barron.
It is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, your destination for all things gardening, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, 850-some-odd videos, and we're adding about 9 a week. Well, let's head up to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Holly, to bring in our next guest.
I think that's down, actually.
Oh, okay, something like that.
So Doug Oster is the home and garden editor for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. He's also an Emmy Award-winning producer, television host, and writer. He's the co-host of the Organic Gardeners radio show, and he's an avid backyard gardener residing in Pittsburgh.
Welcome to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener radio show, Doug Oster.
Good morning. Am I down or am I over from you, or where am I compared to where you're at?
I think you're just down, yeah, more like southeast.
Yeah, southeast.
Yeah. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy day. I know you got a lot of stuff going on there with the CBS station and the radio show to join us.
I'm just working in the garden today.
Well, that's always something that's very relaxing. Well, let's talk about that. You know, we're very high advocates and talk about the importance of organic gardening, and you are now too. But there was a time where you didn't think organic gardening was important, but then you had an aha moment in the garden. Would you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, I didn't know any better, to tell you the truth. I learned to garden from my parents and grandparents, and I didn't even think about it. But, yeah, my kids now are 28, 30, and 31, and two have moved out. Yes, yahoo! And, I miss them. And when they were little, I had cabbage worms really bad, and I didn't know what to do, and I called a gardening friend. He just said, just get this stuff called Seven and sprinkle it down, and you'll take care of your cabbage worms. And that's what I did, and I was, like, celebrating, you know, stopping this invading force of cabbage worms. And then I looked back and my toddler was walking barefoot right through that stuff looking for snow peas, and I was like, that can't be good. And I didn't know what Seven was. I didn't want to know what Seven was, and I started reading the back of the package, and it was like, you know, it's a nerve toxin. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to let my kids encounter this. And that was the day I decided I was going to change the way I gardened. And that was way before the internet, and I went to the library and read everything I could about organic gardening, and the thing that really hit me was that I thought organic gardening was something new, and everybody was an organic gardener before World War II, because there were no chemical pesticides, herbicides, or fertilizers.
Right, and that kind of changed the way, because people saw there was money to be made, and then everybody just kind of followed along. But, yeah, that's important that we understand if we're going to use a chemical, which we don't recommend, it's important to understand what that chemical is supposed to do, and then you can decide whether or not that's something you really want or not.
Yeah, the thing was I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. I killed the bad bug, but what I wasn't thinking about was that I killed all the good bugs and I killed my soil life underneath, and those are two things that help us garden. I thought that it was that I was going to have this explosion of insects when I made the change, but it didn't happen that way. Nature sets up a really good balance of good and bad bugs, and 99% of the insects in the garden are either benign or good for the garden, so let's embrace them.
Now, speaking of soil, we know we encourage minimal soil disturbance and do not till. You follow the same practice. What are your reasons for not tilling, and why do you encourage your listeners not to till?
You know, I tilled my garden for, probably 25 years, and it was actually my radio partner, Jessica Walliser, who was reading a book called Teeming with Microbes by Jeff Lowenfels, and she said, you know, the theory is there's this whole network underneath the soil, and when we till it, we break it up, and it takes all season to come back together. She goes, I'm going to try this, no tilling, and just putting compost on top, and I was very skeptical, so I did the same thing. I changed half my vegetable garden to no-till and just adding compost on top, and boy, I'll never go back. Now, it only took one season, and I was a no-till gardener, and again, that's the theory, is that you're disrupting this mycorrhizal network that's under the soil. And, boy, I've just had a great garden. It's so much easier, too, just adding that compost on top. Now, these beds that I'm working on, gosh, it's been 5-6 years that I've had that going no-till, and, you can stick your hand down in those beds and probably all the way down to your elbow and pick out a few earthworms.
And to give credit to Jessica, Jessica Walser, she's your co-host. She's a horticulturist expert, so that helps you a little bit on your end.
Yeah. She's the scientist, and I'm the regular gardener.
Okay.
So people get the best of both worlds. And she always corrects me on all the things that I do, and I always try and correct her, but I never win.
For people who have seen your garden videos on your Facebook page as well as everybodygardens.com, many may say you have a very large garden, and you may say it's not big enough because you're a gardener. How do you get the most out of it? What methods do you use to maximize the space that you have available?
You know, I live on 4 acres, and I'm 7 miles from downtown Pittsburgh, and we can do that just because of the topography here, very hilly. And my vegetable garden is 30 by 40, which, like you said, I wish it was twice that big. But I, even with 30 by 40 vegetable garden, there's never enough room, and I am growing up a lot. I grow anything I can that's vining up a trellis. I actually have some bamboo up in the woods, and never plant bamboo, okay? But I've got some up there that somebody else planted, and I harvest that for building projects and make trellises and teepees and all sorts of stuff. So if it's cucumbers, melons, Malabar spinach, whatever I'm growing, I want to grow it up. So, you know, my tomatoes, too, they're growing up in cages. Try and keep everything vertical to put in as much as I can into the garden.
Well, you make a very good point. There's a guy in Atlanta, Walters. He says that don't grow bamboo. I had a friend in the town I grew up in. His dad planted bamboo in the front yard, and he even called the big chemical companies and said, "Do you have anything to kill this?" And they said, "No."
I got one little piece from somebody once, and he just said, "Oh, it's a clumping variety. It doesn't spread." And I looked out there today. It's all moved into my vegetable beds. It's all moved into my perennial beds. I'll never get rid of it, and I spend countless hours just cutting it down so that my other plants aren't choked out by it, and it's the bane of my existence.
So we are always learning from our followers and listeners. What is something you've learned that really stuck out to you? Maybe something you felt you should have known already but didn't.
Don't plant bamboo. You know, I learn something every day from the people that I interview, and it is the joy of what I do is meeting these people. Yesterday I spent the day with a bonsai grower, and, you know, he's been doing this for 30 years, and each place that I go to, I'll find a new plant or a new technique, or sometimes they give me new enthusiasm for something. Lately, I have been obsessed with arugula, and that came from a reader that I met about 2 months ago that was growing something, a couple of arugulas I'd never seen before. And that's just one of the many things. And you know how it is with gardening. You go through these kind of waves of obsessions, different things, you know. For the guy I was with yesterday, bonsai, it's been 30 years, but now he's fallen in love with hostas. That's another thing I've fallen in love with is hostas. One of my readers turned me onto a hosta called Empress Wu, which is the biggest hosta out there. I'm looking at it through the window right now, and that thing is on its way to 4 feet and maybe by the end of the season 6 feet tall. So it's all about plants and enthusiasm and techniques. You learn every day from other gardeners, and that's the wonder of being a garden writer.
Well, with you talking about your garden and everything you have successful, what is your nemesis? What is one plant that you just cannot grow and you're just like, okay, I'm just done trying?
Onions.
Okay.
And Jessica always says, you need to get your soil tested and get the pH right. Well, I've done that, but I've done everything you could. I grow great garlic, but I can't grow onions worth anything. I can grow little bunching onions, but I can't grow onions that head up. And I've done everything you could possibly imagine. The thing is, I don't have enough sun to really make it happen for some reason. That's my excuse anyway. And I've got the pH right. I've put bulb tone in. I've planted the right type of onions. I planted plants, seeds, sets. It's just one of those things that I just can't get to grow. And as I said, I'm blaming it on not enough sun.
I think you're right, because the bulb portion of the onion begins to enlarge at a certain point that the daylight hours get to a certain light length, and then that's when the bulb begins to form. And I think that's probably a pretty good excuse why your bulbs are not forming and you're not getting good on
it. But I'm growing these big garlic things. That's the mystery. But I'll take the garlic because I'm a garlic fanatic.
Okay.
All right, so you've written 3 books. What are they and where can people buy them?
I got Grow Organic, Tomato, Garlic, Basil, and Steel City Garden, which is all about black and gold. If you live in any place that has a team that's black and gold, that'll work for you too. And the best place to get them is DougOster.com. That's my name. And I'll sign it for you, send it to you, answer your questions, whatever you need.
And also on your website, you can go click under the See Doug tab, and you can go navigate and listen to your weekly garden show every week.
That's right. Every Sunday morning, 7 a.m., our motto is, if we have to get up, you should have to get up too.
And you can catch that on podcast replay, which I do throughout the week. Well, Doug, we greatly appreciate you taking time out of your day. Get back in your garden. Have a good day. And thank you for sharing some of your garden knowledge with Holly and myself and our listeners.
Thanks so much, guys.